Don called me this morning. When he calls on Thursday mornings, I know he wants me to introduce the AFCO student. So this morning, I'd like to introduce to you Christina Escamilla, and she's going to be bringing the message this morning. Her husband was an AFCO student in the last class, right? So we're happy to have her here all the way from Fresno, California.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to introduce my family to you. This is my husband, Henry, and I have a son, Nathan, and Hannah. And we are doing a little bit of role reversal here. I've been home for 8 years with the children, and I had this opportunity to come to AFCO, so Henry's now home with the children, and usually he's up here speaking, and so we've quite changed in our roles, but I thank the Lord for this opportunity. Would you please bow your heads with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you so much for this time to get together and to be in your presence. I ask that you would be here, you would speak to me, through me, and that all would receive a blessing of who you are. In your name, amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn to James 1:12. This is where I'd like to read. That's James 1:12. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." This morning I want to explore the topic of trials, why God allows them, and for what purpose. Jesus says, "In this world you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." From this text, we can see that God allows trials in the lives of his people. And one particular trial in my life was 2 years ago. I woke up and my life literally changed. I woke up and I had a golf ball size lump on my neck here. And I remember looking in the mirror and saying, okay, this is not my lymph nodes. I'm a nurse. And I began to palpate there, and sure enough, it was something that shouldn't have been there. And I went to the doctor, and I had several tests, blood tests and ultrasounds and biopsies. It was determined that I had a tumor on my thyroid gland, and it was going to be needed to be surgically removed to see whether it was cancerous or not. And I remember saying to myself, "Lord, why is this happening to me?" I was 35 at the time, and I had two small children, and we were serving God. We've been active and been in the church all our lives, and I thought, "Lord, you know, why is this happening to me? You know, there's never a good time for any kind of sickness or illness." And so I struggled with the Lord, and I said, I remember praying and wrestling, and one of my best friends gave me the text in Philippians 1:12, which reads, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." And I remember her saying to me, "You know, perhaps this is happening, Christina, to turn out for some furtherance of the gospel." And I wasn't quite sure I liked that. But I found a quote from Ellen White that really said the same thing, and it really strengthens me, and I'll read it to you. It's found in Patriarchs and Prophets, and it says, "God has always tried his people in the furnace of affliction. It is by close testing trials that God disciplines his servants. He sees that some have powers which may be used in the advancement of his work, and he puts these persons upon trials. In his providence, he brings them into a position that tests their character, reveals defects and weaknesses that have been hidden from their own knowledge. He gives them opportunity to correct these defects and to fit themselves for his service. He shows them their own weaknesses and teaches them to lean upon him, for he is their only help and safeguard. Thus, his object is attained. They are educated, trained, disciplined, and prepared to fulfill the grand purpose for which their powers were given them. When God calls them to action, they are ready, and heavenly angels can unite with them in the work to be accomplished on the earth. That said to me the same thing. He sees that some have powers which may be used in the advancement of his work, and he puts these persons upon trial. I remember being comforted by that verse. Look back with me in this text here in James 1:12. What's the first word of the text, if anybody has their Bibles? Blessed. Yes. That God uses trials as a means to bless us. That first word says blessed. God, in his great love, Ellen White says, is seeking to develop in us the precious graces of his Spirit. He permits us to encounter obstacles, persecution, hardships, not as a curse, but as the greatest blessing of our lives. Every temptation resisted, every trial bravely borne gives us new experiences and advances us in the work of character building. Did you catch that? The trials are the greatest blessing of our lives. I'm going to tell you a few of the blessings of my trial. After surgery, there was cancer removed, and it was a very small amount. They were able to get it all, and I was very thankful for that. I was told that I was well, and that's all the treatment that I would need. So I was very blessed by that. Another huge blessing was where the tumor was. Part of the risk of removing it was hitting the laryngeal nerve there, and I like to share this before I sing, that I was told I could be completely paralyzed with my voice. I could, or I could be partially and have to have therapy again to speak. And I remember saying to the Lord, whatever happens to me, Lord, and whatever voice you give me, I'm going to use it for your honor and glory. And so after surgery, I had no voice. I could not speak. And I remember saying, okay, it's okay, God is with me. And little by little, my voice recovered, and I could whisper. And I kind of had a raspy voice and a dark beard. But every point of the voice, I was praising the Lord. I said, thank you, Jesus. And today I'm speaking here to you, and it is just a miracle from God that I can use this voice for him. And I like to encourage young people as well. You each have a voice. God has given you a voice. Use it for him. Use it for him. But the biggest blessing of this trial was that it drew me to God in a way that I have never experienced in my life. I clung to God like there was no other. He was my only salvation. And I found my source of strength in him. And I believe that was the greatest blessing, that I clung to him and knew him as my friend and Savior. And I know that many of you too have felt that. And when you go through hardships, it really brings you to a point where nothing else is important in life but God. I remember too, we had just built our home, and I was busy decorating it and putting up painting and getting it all perfect. And I remember saying, oh, I'll never move from this house. And I'll tell you what, when this happened, I could care less about my home. And God really showed me what was important, and I realized that the only thing that's important in life is God, is God. The next part of this verse says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Trials are a precursor for a crown of life. I'd like to use this last illustration that kind of sums up my life when I read it in Ellen White. She uses the illustration of a bird in a cage. Maybe some of you are familiar. And I shared this with my children, and I said, imagine that you go to the pet store and you want to purchase a pet bird. Does anybody have any pet birds here? You do? Okay. So this person goes to the store and gets a songbird and brings it home and has a cage there and is so excited to have this songbird there. And he wants to teach the songbird a song, a tune. And so day after day, the master or the owner comes to the songbird and is whispering in the songbird's ear. And this songbird is so distracted by what's going on. There's the light, there's other people passing by, there's the other songbirds, that he cannot hear anybody speaking to him, and he cannot hear the tune. And day after day, patiently, the master comes and whispers in his ear the little song. But the songbird is totally distracted. So then he gets an idea, and he decides, well, I'm going to put a blanket over this cage. And so he does. And I imagine that little songbird saying, hey, what's going on in here? It's really dark, and who turned the lights out, and why is this happening to me, and it's where is everybody? And, you know, that's how I was. That's how I felt. And something happens to that little bird. He hears something. For the first time, he can hear the master speaking. And day after day, the master goes to the songbird and teaches him his tune. And you know what? That little songbird learned the song. And when he has learned the song, the veil is lifted. And Ellen White says, thus God deals with his children. He has a song to teach us. And when we have learned it, amid the shadows of affliction, we can sing it over and over again. Amen. In summary, trials and affliction are part of the education for the crown of life. They are God's method of training us for success, and they are evidence that he has seen something valuable in us. They are part of his leading in our lives. They enable us to help others, and they are designed to bring us closer to God. I have experienced sharing with others just like I've shared with you. And afterwards, I've been encouraged by those who have had similar circumstances, and it was encouraging to them. And I was thankful that God I have helped someone through my sufferings as well. So I ask you this morning, are you willing to believe that trials can be our greatest blessings? Are you willing to allow God to prepare you for the crown of life, to train you for success? To allow him to do whatever it takes to reveal weaknesses and defects in our character, even through trials. That they may educate, they may train, discipline, and prepare you and I to fulfill the grand purpose that he has for our lives. If that's your desire, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being the God that loves us, the God that cares so much about us that you are willing to do whatever it takes in our lives to show us those areas in our lives that we need to fully surrender to you. And even though we may not understand sometimes the things that you allow to happen to us, we can cling to you, and we know that you have our best interest in mind. I pray that even now, as we experience trials and troubles in this world, that you will help us to learn what we need to learn from these experiences, that it would draw us closer to you like never before, that we may come out singing a new song for you, Lord, praising you through our afflictions and trials. And when we have gone to heaven and you place that crown of life on our heads, that we will forget all of our problems and say, heaven is cheap enough. Lord, we trust you. We are thankful that you love us so much. I pray for each of my brothers and sisters that they may be encouraged and that your Holy Spirit would be in this place and on each and every person. I thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.